Hey, everybody, it's Joe Conte, and I want to welcome you to episode number 16. It's not 15, which we say in the episode, but because we're always 1 week behind, and we're not very good at prepping for anything. So we apologize. This is episode 16 of the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conte, and Louis Fats.
Ralph, what's in the box?
Oh, the surprise. When I went over for the job at the Spiffy Company, I ran into one of the salesmen. He sold me an iron. Isn't that a beauty? Well, you see it work. This is going to make your job a lot easier, Alice. Now, as soon as this thing heats up, you go in and get the ironing board. And when you see how this thing works, you'll be amazed at the simplicity of its operation. Now.
Testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Johnny, here?
Lower your right shoulder. Go!
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conte and Louis Fats.
Welcome, fellow raccoons and raccoonettes. What's happening, all you hurricanes, all you Bensonhurst bombers, and all you Carlos Sanchez's of the world? You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast. With me, Joe Conte, and my pal, Louis Fats.
Yeah, now I'm a full-grown nut.
Yes, the only discussion-based podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record in the Non-Productive Studios in Clifton, New Jersey. And if you're listening on iTunes, go to your the rating page and give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. And if you just want to listen to us right off your computer, you go to non-productive.com/honeymooners. And you can subscribe anywhere that you get your podcast. And don't forget to like our Honeymooners Podcast Facebook page. And how you doing, Louis?
Doing good, Joe.
Yes. I'm looking forward to this as usual.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't get to do the ShopRite thing yet.
I did this morning.
You already did the ShopRite this morning.
Yeah. I'm really jacked up for this.
Yeah. Are you a coupon guy?
Of course I am.
Now, let me ask you real quick. I know this isn't Honeymooners, but is it coupons or coupon?
I say coupons
too. I don't know. Yeah. It's weird when somebody says coupons.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm like, I put coupons in my ears. Clean ears. You know what I mean? But welcome, everybody. Episode number 15.
Yeah.
Yep.
15 of them.
Yeah. Yeah, we started on June. I think the first episode came out June 20th.
Yeah.
I only remember because it was the day my dad had his appendix taken out.
There you go.
Yeah, the one appendix wonder, my dad. I mean, not appendix, kidney. I'm sorry. Yeah. His appendix, I think he'd be all right. But who knows? But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We have a great show for you today. First off, we wanted to, because we do a thing about the flubs, and we're going to
love it.
We're doing two flubs later on. Yeah. We're just going to do flub of the day, flub of the week. But this one is a different type of flub. It's almost like a glaring mistake in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
Not a line, not a sound. It was a glaring mistake in either somebody missed. It was either Art Carney completely missed saying something, or they left a glaring hole in the script.
In the script. It could have been just part of the script that they didn't catch it.
I can't understand how they could, because if I saw it.
Especially Gleason not catching it.
Exactly.
Caught everything.
And I'm an idiot, and I noticed it right away. I was like, wait a minute, this can't be right. So we're going to start. And there's no name for this or anything. It's from the episode Mind Your Own Business. And what's great is, and we'll play a little clip of it because it's fun. People, we're getting such great feedback.
Yeah.
And especially when we mix in with the clips.
I think we're getting a really positive feedback with the clips when we put the clips in a few episodes back. And
absolutely.
I think it just adds to it.
Yeah.
People just love hearing
it. Yeah,
just,
yeah. And especially the last two where we dissected. Yeah. We dissected your favorite scene.
Yeah.
One of your favorite scenes. And then we dissected one of my favorite scenes. But this is different. This is where, and first we're going to play the first part when they're playing cards. Right. And we all know.
The famous gin game.
The gin. Mm-hmm. And so we'll
just draw a card while you're still young.
Norton, you play gin rummy your way, and I'll play gin rummy my way. My way is the scientific way.
And this we just like keep it in there. Yeah, because it's funny, yeah.
For instance, I noticed that you picked up a queen before. And I know you picked it up to make a run of three queens. I also know that you have a run of clubs. I also noticed that you threw away two sevens. Therefore, you couldn't possibly use the card that I'm about to throw down, which is a seven of spades. That's scientific figuring. That's ever-loving Jim.
He says that so great.
See that? 25 for Jen. That's a total of 90. Boy, I'm telling you, it's a good thing that, you know, if you were Rockefeller's son, I'd never have to work another day as long as I live. What a trouncing. 28,000 points. That wasn't a blitz. That was a blouse. you owe me 14 cents.
All right. Okay, now
I don't owe you anything yet. We haven't finished playing. Now let's get on with the next hand.
No, I don't want it.
Here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
What do you mean you don't want it?
I can't.
We got plenty of time. The girls won't be home for another hour.
Well, I can't. I can't concentrate on the game. I got something on my mind.
But what could you possibly have on
your mind?
Well, you know that promotion that was due me in the sewer? I think they're going to give it to Cassidy.
Another Cassidy.
Well, how can they give it to Cassidy? He's only been with the sewer company for about a year. Why should they give it to him instead of you?
I think it's politics. You know, he got pretty close to the big shots downtown.
He's only been with the company for a year. How could he get close to the big shots?
Well, don't forget, for the last 6 months, he's been working on a sewer right underneath City Hall.
You're just looking for an excuse, Norton. You could get that promotion if you wanted it. All you have to do is go in and sell yourself to them. Tell them how important you are
That's
to their organization.
Right.
Well, I don't think I have to do that, Ralph. I think they appreciate what I'm doing, the job I'm doing.
Just go in and tell them that this is your future. And your future isn't next year or next month or next week or even tomorrow. Your future is now, right now. And that's when you want the promotion, right now.
That's right.
Well, suppose they don't want to give me the promotion.
Then you're scared to death.
Tell them you quit. Tell them after 17 years in the sewer, you're finally washing your hands of the whole thing.
Ralph makes a sewer joke there.
Think that'll scare them, huh?
Certainly it'll scare them. They know they need you. They know it. And what's more important, now you know that they need you. Thanks to me.
Thanks to me.
All right? Mm-hmm. Now, let's go on with our game.
No, I don't
want to. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We're going to be tackling two things right here.
Yeah.
Not only is this scene important to what we're about to talk about, there is a little flub here.
Yeah.
We got a little flub. I just realized.
There is a flub in there.
That's right. And it's going to be, you'll hear the flub.
I can't. I'd rather not play anymore. And listen, forget about the 14 cents you owe me.
Oh, I'm not forgetting about it. I lost 14 cents playing cards. And I'm going to pay it off. All I want is a chance to break even. Now, we'll play one more hand, double or nothing.
No, I don't want to play. I don't want to play particularly double or nothing because when you win, then you always start yelling and screaming at me.
I promise you, I will not yell and scream.
I want to know why he would yell and scream if he won.
If he won, that's the flub.
Because I'm out to get you.
I'm out to get you, too. Yeah, that's a giant flub.
Flub right there, yeah.
It's your pick. Come on!
That was a good smack.
Yeah,
that was one of those. It was a good one.
Yes.
All right. So, this is a great throwout.
Great
too.
Throw out there. It's a visual throw out.
It's a visual throw out. Yeah, because it's just a little, you know, the thumb,
flicks the thumb,
the face. Now he's pointing, and he kind of almost tiptoes out.
Yeah.
I gotta admit, Ralph, this time you didn't yell at me because you were.
That's great. But anyway, okay. So now we're setting it up. But first of all, it's a flub.
It's a flub, yeah.
Because it's
supposed to say,
like,
you're supposed to say when you lose
either
or.
When you lose or when
I win.
Yeah. Right. And he's going to start screaming and yelling and all that. But
Also, I got to say one thing about the 28,000 points equaling 14.
Here comes Louis and his.
Here's the math.
Louis and his calculus. Yes, his calculations.
My slide rule.
Yes.
I don't have a calculator.
Lucky the sun's out.
Well, yeah, really. My sun died. I can know what time it is. It comes out to zero, 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 five. Per point.
Per point. Like, I don't even know what that is. First of all, there's no monetary value. Yeah, no. But even the percentage, I don't even know what fraction that
is. It's like one, it's like 5/1,000,000 of a penny.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man. All right, so now, you obviously understand, right? And most people, I think, that are big fans of the show might even know what we're going to do. But the point is, Ralph tells Ed, you got to go in there and scare him to death.
Right.
Threaten your boss. And so now, the next scene, Alice is there, and Ed comes in.
Right.
And here's where it gets a little...
Yeah, a little...
Yeah, you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, this doesn't make sense.
Something's up here, yeah.
Right.
Something is...
His movements are fantastic.
Ralph home yet?
No, not yet, Ed. You had your supper already?
No. I haven't even been upstairs.
Is there something bothering you, Ed?
No. What, me? No. What, bothering me? No.
Well, I got some delicious goulash. How about trying some?
No, thank you. I don't feel like eating.
You don't feel like eating? Now I know there's something bothering you. All right, Ed, now come on, out with it. Something go wrong at work today?
Well, now that you asked, yes, I guess so. I guess you'd call it that. I had words with my boss, Jim McKeever.
Oh, well, those things happen to anyone.
I guess that ring didn't mean much.
Yeah. It don't happen to anyone this way. After what he told me, I find it impossible to work one more day for him in the sewer.
Well, what did he tell you?
You're fired.
Eddie fired you?
Yeah, how do you like that? You get the picture? An old Ed Norton, reliable old Ed Norton, working 17 years in the sewer, and now everything down the drain.
That's a great joke.
Yep.
Oh, Ed.
I don't know what to do. I haven't told Trixie yet. I ain't got the nerve. Hey, Alice, you and Trix have been friends for a long time.
I love this joke.
Suppose you go upstairs and break the news to her.
Oh, no, Ed, that's a man's job.
You're right, Alice. I'll get Ralph to do it.
I love that. That's great. That is such a great subtle joke.
You're going to have to do yourself. You're going to have to tell Trixie.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But I don't know how to do it. I can't think of the words to say to her. I only I didn't have to. Hey, how about this? Maybe if I could tell her that we went broke, that the sewer went bankrupt. No, I...
So...
Ed, there is no way of getting out of this. You have got to go upstairs and tell Trixie.
Got to go upstairs, yeah.
Well... Guess you're right, Alice. You've got to face the music, fight fire with fire. I like to say in a trade, Seth Loggerry.
All right. So now he tells her that he was fired.
Fired. Yep.
That's all he told
her. That's all he told her. Lost his job. Didn't say how.
Didn't say just, yeah. And now here comes Ralph.
Hiya, hon.
Oh, hiya, Ralph. Ralph, I got awful bad news for you.
What?
Ed was just down here and he told me he was fired.
Fired?
Yeah. He threatened his boss, told him he had to have a promotion or else. Now I wonder who could have talked Ed into doing a thing like that.
Must have been one of those,
I wonder who could have done a thing like that.
Well, you know, it couldn't have been Ed's idea. It doesn't sound like him at all. I know what it probably was. Probably one of those big mouth characters. You know how those big mouths are, Ralph.
Yeah.
So easy, always to tell somebody else, you know, butt into somebody else's business. Those big mouths all the time can figure out everybody else's life, but they never have the courage to do it themselves.
Now, wait a minute, Alice. I got courage.
What?
I mean, if I told somebody to quit their job, I wouldn't do it unless I had the courage to do it myself.
Well, thank heavens you're smart enough to mind your own business.
All right.
Okay.
So, now I think you all can see where we're going with this.
Yeah.
He never... Tells her how he got fired.
Exactly.
So was it? It has to be. It's either one of two things. One, they didn't put it in the script which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because I noticed it the first time I saw it, or two, because there was this one part where he kind of hesitates a second. He's like, and then that's when he's like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know. Well, Ned Norton. You know, 17 years and. So I don't know.
Yeah, because the thing too is if they did it that point, they would probably have to bring Ralph into it. He would have to say, "Well, Ralph told me."
Right.
And so it would actually screws up the the body of the of this episode.
Or he could have said, you know, I went, or if he would have just said, you know, I went in there and I said, you know, he goes, no. You're fired. Yeah. She goes, really? He goes, yeah, I went in there and I said, hey, listen, you guys got to give me that promotion that I was going to get or I'm leaving. And she's like, and he fired you? He goes, yeah. Look at me. Poor old Ed Norton.
17 years
down the drain. Yeah. And that would have been it.
Yep.
Because he didn't say it was Ralph.
Uh-huh.
He's just saying, that's what I did. Because why would he go saying right away?
Yeah.
Because he would just be explaining what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a very weird thing where it's not a flub.
No.
It's a giant gaping hole in the story.
Yeah, it's either an omission in the script.
Yeah.
Or Norton just forgetting.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But if he did, don't you think they would have taken, unless the other take that they did, because they recorded it twice.
Right, if they did, everyone, I don't know if they did everyone twice.
I don't know.
Because there's so many glaring flubs that stay in that, right. You know, that would have been taken out. I don't know, maybe they didn't record everyone twice. I know they did, but I don't know if everyone. Maybe they were selective. Maybe they just thought,
you know what, this is good enough. Yeah. And the reaction from the audience was so good that they were like, we'll just leave it in. Especially Gleason, because he was a big stickler about spontaneity.
Spontaneity.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe he was like, you know what, leave that in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, look at it, 6 years later, and we're still laughing at
top pan, left pan, dress pan, draw. I mean, like, what's that?
Stop.
Okay, we're going to stop that. Yeah. We're ruining something here.
Stop it. But yeah, so I found this to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And confusing.
Yeah.
But
we could chalk it up basically to a script flub.
All right.
Because I can't see Norton carrying on that whole way without forgetting, because that would be basically that's the essence of
the
what
story.
Happened.
And especially from what everybody says. Everybody says that Audrey Meadows knew everybody's
lines, line.
That she would have said, well, what got him to fire you?
Yeah, she would have carried on. Like,
she would have carried on.
Got
like,
it out of him.
Why
got
did
it
he at, fire
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
And he would have, and that would have been perfect, because he would have said, I went in there and I said, hey, listen, I'm going to quit if I don't get the promotion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then boom. Then Ralph comes in and then they continue.
And they continue on.
So I don't know. That was me. I noticed it. Honestly,
Joe, no, I didn't.
Until you
told me.
Okay.
I never really... Well, like I said, I told you also before that this isn't one of my favorite episodes, so I really don't pay much attention to it.
Right,
of course, watch it because it's The Honeymooners and
course,
there's something
right.
great.
And there's still some...
And there's good, little great things little, going on in there, but it's not one of my favorites.
Right.
Okay, so that's why maybe I'm not really paying...
And that says a lot because you, as we've already found out, we've had people sending us messages saying, oh, I got a trivia question. We're like, yeah, we already did that
one. We already did that one.
Yeah, or in a different way. But, you know, especially with Louis with his 800 questions that he has for 39 episodes. So... I don't know. Maybe there's only a few people that notice it, but I did. And
yeah,
I didn't.
I didn't. So
yeah.
So one of them things, eh?
All right. Well, now what we want to do is our second part of the show is something that we're really enjoying doing, and it's this.
The Honeymooners podcast presents Whatever Happened To. The boys go deep into their shallow minds and try to imagine what would have happened to certain situations in the show if the episode had a to be continued or a part two. Yeah, I know. Joe and Louie need real jobs. And now here's Whatever Happened To.
Yes, our fun segment called Whatever Happened To. And, this episode...
These are things that people, like, don't really think about. So this is why we're trying to draw to your attention.
Yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. You really brought this into a positive light. It's just two people with mental illnesses pretending this is real.
Mental Illness Week in Clifton, New Jersey. Me and Joe are the poster boys.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a parade in Clifton this weekend. Honeymooners Mental Illness Kids, yes. And we don't mean to make fun of mental illness,
We know.
But the Whatever Happened To is something in the show that we were like, wait a minute, Whatever Happened To? And we're going to go with Funny Money.
Funny Money, again, that was our first, also our very first Whatever Happened To.
The first one that ever happened to, because it was...
Ralph's job, when he quit his
job. Yes, when he quit his job, what happened? Because in episode three, he had his job,
back. He's driving a bus.
So in Funny Money, when he got all the money, and then one afternoon when Alice was out, he had all this brand new furniture delivered. Right? And then when she comes in, she's shocked. His mother-in-law is there. Of course, Alice, who's gone all afternoon, is still wearing an apron.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going all afternoon? You went shopping at the
Freitag's Deli in your apron.
You went to Bam Burgers, but you couldn't take your apron off.
Save your jokes for the butcher.
Save your jokes for the butcher. So when she comes back, and then obviously everything goes to pot.
Yeah.
And now he has to bring all the furniture back, except for his
his
wardrobe.
His wardrobe. Taylor doesn't know any elephants that need a new wardrobe. great Alice line. Yeah. And we're gonna do great Alice lines. We have a future show planned. Yeah. But we just have to go through them.
Yeah, we just
a lot of them.
We have to do some work. We're doing the easy, fun ones where we don't have to do much preparation.
Yeah, we don't, because we don't, you know, us in preparation.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go together.
The only preparation I know ends in H.
Ends H, I'll tell you.
My wife, she's a terrible cook. Anyway. But yeah, so like, what happens now? They're on, like, we don't even know what floor they're on, right?
Well, I think they're on the second. I'm going to say the second because Norton lives upstairs and Judy Connors lives downstairs.
Okay.
So I'm going to say second.
Second floor.
Okay. We don't know how tall the building is.
Right, right.
If you go on Wikipedia, there is a picture of 328 Chauncey Street. 328,
yeah, I've
and
seen
you
that,
can see, and then, but it only ends at the third floor, so I don't know if there's anything up higher.
Oh, okay.
But you only see
so
three
let's
floors.
Go with second floor.
We'll go second floor. All we know he's not on the ground floor because Judy Connors lives downstairs.
That's right. So now they have to bring all of this furniture and bring it back to Stedman's or wherever they got this.
Wallace's department.
Where did it? Was it Wallace's?
Well, probably Wallace's.
Yeah, probably Wallace's. Yeah, the young kid. The young hip kid owned a department store. That's why Judy Collins loved it. That's why she loved him so much, because he had money. Now, we were saying, like, first of all, like you said, the stove. Right? It's a brand new stove.
Brand new stove.
Right.
Brand new sink.
Yeah.
Brand new refrigerator.
Brand new fridge. That's right.
Have the
brand
ice box.
New ice box.
The refrigerator.
Yes.
He had an ice box.
Yes.
So now all that stuff had to go back.
Yeah.
Now.
How are you getting all this stuff
Where
back?
Did the original furniture go, or appliances? Yeah, exactly. Because they were back in the apartment the next week.
Exactly. Back there. Right. Exactly. And did he have to get a U-Haul? Or did they come and get it? I mean, why would they come and get it? He paid for it, but now they got. Well, maybe because the money's no good.
Yeah,
but just bringing it back him dragging. Maybe the stove was in the kitchen. In the bedroom, and maybe they dragged it back
in. I don't know, but those days, that stove could have literally weighed 1,000 pounds.
Yeah. Because stoves back then, they were made. They were never going to kill a stove.
No, it was made like of metal, whatever heck you would make a stove out of those days.
Yeah, it looked like the Terminator with no skin on it. Yeah. You know, it was just made of metal, and it was just like.
Now, did Mr. Johnson have to get a plumber to come in and put the old sink back in, the one that never worked?
The janitor before they got him before he quit.
Before he quit,
yeah, I wonder who that guy was. But imagine the job that guy had to do. yes, janitor. Janitor, yeah, we need you to take all the furniture out of the apartment.
And be careful with that stove going downstairs.
Yes. And stop buying those cheap matches.
Love that line.
I love that
That's
line.
That's a great ad lib.
Stop buying those cheap matches. Yeah, so we just thought that would be kind of interesting.
Whatever happened to
whatever happened to from episode 15. Whatever happened to all the furniture that he bought? And it actually just looked. It did look nice.
Well, like I said, the new stuff was easy. I just went back. They just probably they called Wallace's or whatever they bought and they sent a crew up. But the thing is, what happened to the? Thing is,
where is that leaky
original?
Faucet?
Yeah, the leaky faucet that sounded like a machine gun when they put it on.
When they put it on, yes.
Or burnt Ralph every time he put the hot water on.
Exactly, it would never work. Pressure.
You would think Mr. Johnson's okay. Keep the sink, being that this one works.
Exactly. I'll charge you an extra. I'll charge you 20% extra rent, but keep the new furniture. Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh. So that was...
So that's whatever happened.
That's our little whatever happened to. Okay. And the last part of this show, we want to do Flub of the Week.
Flub of the Week, yeah.
But this time, we're going to do two. We're not doing the competition or whatever. Mm-hmm. We're just going to give you two flubs. And the reason why we're giving you two is because, one, we already talked about, but it's so good. it's so good. Which one do you want to do first, the one we did or the new one?
Do the new one first.
The new one.
We'll try to start out with the new, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so at the one, Young at Heart,
yeah.
Ralph starts talking about all the stuff he wants to do with Alice to be young again.
Yes.
And he starts saying about all the different phrases.
Phrases, yeah, like he's hip.
And he's, because he's hip. And he has a major flop. There it is.
Scranton, I'm sorry to intrude at this hour, but I just left Mr.
That's the wrong one. Okay, I need my glasses. Here we go.
I'm going to start taking her to dances and roller skating. I'm going to learn all the new dances. The Big Apple. Susie Q.
Susie Q.
The Continental, Hesitation Waltz.
Dances like from the 20s.
And I'm going to learn all the expressions, too, like Vododiodo, 23 Skidoo. And I'll kiss you later. I'm eating a potato.
Hold on a second. I'll kiss you eating her later. I'm eating a potato. I'll kiss you. What is he actually?
He's trying to say, I'll kiss you later. I'm eating a potato. Right, but that's the real thing. He says, I'll kiss you or eating her later.
I'm eating a potato. I just want to go back to hear that again.
I'll kiss you eating later. I'm eating a potato. That's so funny.
This is so great.
Bodio do, funny free skidoo. I'll kiss you later. I'm eating a potato.
Now he says it right. Correct.
He says that's what it's supposed to be.
What's wrong with those expressions?
Great
boy, line. Oh boy, how can anyone so round be so square?
That's beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So I'll kiss you eating her later. I'll kiss you eating you later. I'm eating a potato. See you later in a while, crocodile alligator. Such a great... And even though he flubs it so bad, and the way... It's the way he like snaps his finger, and it's just, I don't know. It's still so.
It's great. It's great. And the thing is, it's an expression like no one's ever heard. I've never heard that expression.
That one I know. Now I know.
I heard of 23 Skidoo and
23 Skidoo and Fododiodo. Yeah, but a kiss you eating your later.
That's just it. It's just
a kiss you eating your later.
And it's just so ridiculously corny. It's funny.
I mean,
and it's even funnier that he flubs.
That he flubs. Because the flubs so always bad.
Flubs always make things 10 times funnier.
It's just so great. So I'll just play the whole thing again. Just let everybody hear it one more time.
I'm gonna start taking out the dances and roller skating. I'm gonna learn all the new dances. The Big Apple. Susie Q. The Continental, Hesitation Waltz, all of that. And I'm gonna learn all the expressions too, like Vododiodo, 23 Skidoo. And I'll kiss you eating later. I'm eating a potato. All of that.
All right.
That is great.
All right. And finally, before we go, one of our favorite flubs. And we talked about it, I think, in the flub episode.
Yeah, we did.
But
it's got to, you got to read. No, it's got to do it again. It's
Mr. Douglas. It's from The Golfer. It's when he comes in to tell Ralph that Mr. Marshall.
Harper.
Mr. Harper.
Who became Mr. He got promoted to
Mr. Marshall. Yeah,
Marshall in the later episodes.
Yeah. He changed his identity. He got a new passport, and he became Mr. Marshall.
A better job at the bus company.
He can't play golf because he chipped a bone in his ankle,
which he almost screws up that point too.
Yeah.
Listen to it real closely.
It's like he's drunk and he's slurring his lines, but he's saying the words until you know.
And this is a one. And
done. I'm sorry. To
this is a one.
Hour,
one and done.
One and
right?
done guy. So yep, looks like he's trying to get out, off stage as fast as he can because he's like
a nerve.
Yeah, he's a bundle of nerves.
Scranton, I'm sorry to intrude at this hour, but I just left Mr. Harper in the hospital, and he asked me to drop by and see you.
Mr. Harper is in a hospital?
Oh, yes. Nothing serious, really. He just slipped and chipped a bone in his ankle.
Slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Chipped a bone in his ankle? I mean, he chipped a bone in his ankle.
You mean he won't be able to play golf Sunday?
I'm afraid not. The doctor says he won't be able to play for about a couple of months, so he asked me to drop by and tell him you how sorry he was to disappoint you.
Now, even right before it, he's got a little bit, he's almost got the words out.
He's stumbling.
But you can tell he's stumbling.
He's stumbling.
And then, boy, did he.
Then he
fell. Boy, when I went down, what really a vibration.
Really went down, didn't I?
And he goes, him, here we go. I'll just play that part.
You mean he won't be able to play golf Sunday?
I'm afraid not. The doctor says he won't be able to play for about a couple of months. So he asked me to drop by and tell him you how sorry he was to disappoint.
Tell him, you, them, he, our, she, it, the.
Every pronoun in the English.
Every pronoun. It's like he was being politically correct
today.
You know?
You're like, with like 27 pronouns that we have today.
him, you, them.
Oh, God. It's a riot.
Fantastic.
And I always tell Joe, there's flubs. We just did Jackie Gleason flub, and there's Norton flubs and stuff like that. But to me, there's nothing funnier than a secondary character, especially the one and duns.
One and duns, yeah.
When they flub it, they're only big. And to me, that's just the funniest.
It was their moment to shine.
You're on the honey. Yeah, right down the tube.
Right down the toilet.
Right in the sewer.
It's just great. Yeah, that's just the best when they can do that. So, well, listen. That was episode 15. I had a great time doing it. It was so much fun. And, oh, yeah, that's right. We got to do trivia.
Yeah, keep on talking, Joe.
All right, we're going to do our trivia question of the day. And does Louis have a trivia question?
Yeah, I think I got one.
All right.
Okay, we're going to go with, let's bring it to the back to the, you know, I love the Raccoon Lodge.
Gotcha.
Okay, what lodge member was an undertaker?
Undertaker. Oh. He's got the excuse. He can't bring anybody.
Yeah,
he's an undertaker.
Just a little levity to break the tension.
Yeah. It's not Cassidy. Was it Cassidy?
He actually plays two characters in the Raccoon Lodge. This guy.
Well, because is he Bill Davis?
No.
Okay. Because Bill Davis is one of the
is one of the, yeah one of the guys. One of the no, guys, this guy. Right. This is he's actually another member. He plays another member of the Raccoon Lodge. Also,
oh, is it Stanley Saxon?
No.
Okay. Wiedemeyer.
No. You're gonna go through the whole Raccoon Lodge.
I'm gonna go through the
Freddie Muller. Freddie Muller.
I'm about to say Freddie Muller. How about Joe Rumsey? who is it?
Brother Drebin.
Drebin.
Who is also the same guy that plays Pete Woodruff at the costume party.
Who is also the phone guy.
The phone guy. And he plays like three phone guys.
Yeah.
And the director on the stage.
On stage, yeah. We should do one about him.
Yeah.
Episode about him. Drebin.
He installs three phones.
And he's also installing
Mrs. Halpern's antenna. Aerial.
The aerial. Oh,
yeah,
right?
The aerial, they called it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
God.
All right. Expert installer. But he's also Brother Drebin.
Brother Drebin.
And he's also Pete Woodruff.
Pete Woodruff, yeah, the golfer.
The golfer.
The 20s Playboy golfer.
Of 1920s. Yeah. Nice to rent a costume, Pete.
Yes. All right, everybody. Well, listen, thank you for, listening to the show and share it with your friends. Put it out on your social media. I want to also...
I just want to say something. Well, we had a couple people telling us that they were having trouble bringing up some episodes. They were coming up unavailable. Joe fixed that.
Yes, got it done. Frank, who runs our website, got that fixed. So we're good.
Mm-hmm.
They're all running fine. And so I want to thank all of the Honeymooners groups that we're part of that help us promote. They allow us to promote on there. It's the Honeymooners. It's the Honeymooners Raccoon Lodge. And it's also the original 39. And also Edward Lillywhite Norton. He helps run some of those groups. And he's got his own podcast, the Honeymooners Trivia Podcast, which is actually very good. He mixes it up nice where he plays some old stuff from the 50s, so it sounds like it's like an old radio show. Mm-hmm. And he's got like different people that get like a raccoon of the month type of thing. And it's good. I liked his last one, number 53. So okay. We appreciate that. And don't forget, I also do another show. It's called The Conti and Kenny Show. It's an internet radio show / podcast. Nothing like this because we're filthy and we're terrible human beings. But it's on morelikeradio.com. And it's with me, my pal Kenny Michaels, and also Joey Image. It's me, an alcoholic, and a wrestler.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the that's
triumvirate.
Yes. It's the Conti and Kenny show. And that's it. So thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, Mr. Crandon. I'll be seeing you.
I'll be seeing you, Irving Kane. Irving Kale and Sammy Fain, 1938.
Oh, Mr. Crandon, it's all over now.
It's all over now. Bassey Simon, 1927.
No, good night, Mr. Crandon.
Good night, good night. There were two songs, good night. It was Good Night, Irene, written by Lomax and Ledbetter. Good Night, Sweetheart, written by Rudy Valley and Ray Noble.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.